Okay. So I want to talk about the Seder plate. I discussed this last year in my Shabbos Haggadah drasha. And I called it the King of the Seder, and you'll see why in a minute. The Seder plate has a very prominent position at the Seder. It sits in the middle of the table. We have all the simanim, all the special, symbolic foods on the Seder plate. And people put a lot of effort into the Seder plate. I grew up, my family has very little Hasidic origins. So we're very Litvish. My parents are both Balei Tshuva. So when I grew up, the Seder plate wasn't such a big deal. That was the place where you have the items of the Seder. That wasn't such a big deal. When I married my wife, so I heard a lot about my wife's grandfather, whose name was Yisrael Meir. That's the namesake of my son, Yisrael Meir. And I'm told that this Yisrael Meir, he was a Polish Jew, who had a lot of strong Hasidism and Hagim. And he used to spend like hours, Erev Pesach, getting ready for the Seder. And he would set up the whole Kara and he would put everything, he would do everything himself and do everything by hand, grate the Maror, and he would put everything in the right place, in the place that he wanted it, before the Seder started. And I remember, kind of thinking about these two different approaches to the Seder plate. My family's approach, it was kind of just more, okay, it was part of the Seder. You kind of plop the things on and you're done with it. And then my wife's family's approach, where this was like an integral part of the Masorah and of, everything that had to do with Pesach and with Minhagim and with Kedusha, like this is what it was all about. So I decided to look into it and I found a lot of very interesting things regarding the Seder plate. So let's learn some of the halachos together. So if you take a look at source number one on the page, so you'll see that the Gemara in Pesachim, it's actually there's actually part of the Mishnah. It says Talmud Bavli, but it's part of the Mishnah in Pesachim on Daf Kuf Yudalet. And the Mishnah says, "Hey viu lefanav matzah v'chazeres v'charoses u'shnei tavshilin." That they brought before him, this person, he was the Baal HaBayis, they brought before him matzah, chazeres, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, right? Chazeres is kind of like the odd man out at the Seder. No one really knows like what the chazeres is, what role it plays, what the point of it is. Charoses, right? Charoses, obviously we know. Shnei tavshilin, that refers to the two cooked dishes, which are the zroa and the beitzah. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they would also bring before the Baal HaBayis not just these items, but they would also bring before him the actual Karban Pesach, the Gufo Shel Pesach. Now, what's interesting in the Mishnah is that there's no mention at all of a plate. There's no mention of a kara at all. It just says Hevi'u Lefanav. Presumably, they would just bring before the Baal HaBayis, and there was no Seder plate necessarily. And actually, if you look through the Mishnayos and through the Gemaras, there's zero mention of a Seder plate. There's no such thing as a Kara in the times of Chazal. If you take a look at the next source number two, which is the Gemara Pesachim, a little bit later, Daf Kuf Tes Vav. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Simi Barashi, Matzah lifnei kol echad v'yechad. Every person at the Seder has matzah before him. Maror lifnei kol echad v'yechad. V'charoses lifnei kol echad v'yechad. You have matzah, maror, and charoses before each person. Ve'ein okrines hashulchan el lifnei mi she'omer hagadah. But you only remove the table from the person who's saying the Haggadah, meaning from the Baal HaBayis, who's leading the Haggadah. Right? You remove the table from before him. As we know, we don't remove the table at our Siddurim. What we do is we move the Seder plate, which we'll talk about. Rav Huna Omer, Kulu Nami Lifnei Mi She'omer Haggadah. Rav Huna says, now all of these things are only before the person who reads the Haggadah. V'hilchos ki Rav Huna, and we paskin like Rav Huna. Okay. So we'll come back to this in a little bit. But it's clear, again, in this Gemara, that there is no Seder plate. Right? We're talking about removing the table, removing the Shulchan. The Gemara continues, Lama okrinas ha-shulchan. So why is it that we uproot the Seder, the table? Amri debei Rabbi Anai, kidei she'akiru tinokos v'yishalu. The whole point is that so that the children should ask, right? Like everybody jokes around the Seder table, that everything's so that the children should ask, which is really true. We want to pique their curiosity. We want to get them to ask questions. And then, of course, we want to get to the answers of the questions. That's the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, etc. Abaye have a Yosef Kamei de Rabba. So Abaye was sitting before Rabba. Chaza deka. Sorry. Chaza deka madli takomi kame. So he saw that they were taking the tray, the table, away from before him. Amar lehu, so he said to them, Adain lo ka achlinon, we haven't eaten yet. Atu ka ma'akre takami kama, now you're taking away the table from before us, taking away the tray, we haven't eaten our food yet. Amar le rabba, so rabba said, rabba responded to him, Patrosan milomar manishtana. You've exempted us from saying the manishtana. We no longer have to say the manishtana. Because the whole point of the manishtana is to get people to ask questions. The whole point of the seder is to get people to ask questions. You've already asked the questions. Right? The manishtana are the questions. So you've already asked the question. Why are we taking the table? Okay. So we'll talk a little bit more about Rav Huna a little bit later in the shir. But it's again clear in this Gemara that it's all about the shulchan. It's there's no kara here. There's no plate. It's all about removing the shulchan. The first time we really see a reference to a seder plate, to a kara, is in the times of the Rishonim, the Rashbam, in his commentary to the Gemara Masechet Daf Kuf Tesvav, in that source number 3, the Rashbam writes, "V'hanami lididhu dahavi luhu shulchan katan lifnei mi she'omer hagadol levado." He says that this was only for them when they all had a little table, you know, in front of the people, and there was a little table with all these items before the person that read the Haggadah like V'chein L'chol Echad, and everybody else had a little table in front of them also. Aval anu misalkin es hakara shebo matzah umoru shnei tavshilim l'sof ha'shulchan v'day lono b'kach. Says the Rashbam, we don't have to remove the table, we just remove the kara. Now what seems to have changed between the times of Chazal and the Mishnah and the Gemara and the times of the Rishonim and the Rashbam is that it seems to be that in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, people ate at small tables. Everybody had like a little table, little TV table in front of them, and that's how they ate their Suda. So therefore, the discussion in the Mishnah and in the Gemara is we bring before the person these items, we remove the table, that's referring to the little table. Already in the times of the Rishonim, things seem to have shifted. And now people are eating at a larger table altogether. We're no longer eating at these little TV tables. So if we're no longer eating at these little tables, so then we have to just, almost for convenience, we have to put everything on a kara. We have to put everything on a plate. And here we have the first mention of this plate. Now it's interesting in terms of what's on the plate. So if you look back, if you see that, just review the Mishnah again. The Mishnah said in source number 1 that the matzah, sounds like the matzah is on the plate. Chazeres, charoses, ashnei tavshilin. That's it. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 4, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, Mevin lifnei balabayis kara sheyesh ba shlosha matzos. You bring before the balabayis a kara, a seder plate that has 3 matzos. So he also has the matzos on the kara. Umaror v'charoses, which are also in the Mishnah. The karpas o yerek acher. So that's not in the Mishnah. Right? It doesn't say karpas in the Mishnah. But here the Shulchan Aruch adds karpas. V'chometz omei melach. And vinegar or the salt water, that's what you're dipping the karpas into. And also, Shnei Tavshilin, Echad, excuse me, Zeichel Pesach, Echad Zeichel Chagiga, Nagu B'Basar U'Beitza, that's our minute to have Basar and Beitza, these 2 cooked dishes. So you have in the Shulchan Aruch this addition, that in addition to the items that are mentioned in the Mishnah, we also add the karpas and the salt water, which of course we have on our Seder plates as well. Okay, now I don't think you can see, for some reason it did not come up on the Google Doc. All right, but if you look at the Ramah, so the Ramah discusses, the Shulchan Aruch just discusses what's on the Seder plate, but the Ramah discusses exactly the order of arrangement for the Seder plate. Okay, so I'm actually going to, I'm going to stop this for a second. Okay, and looks like I froze. Okay. Hold on a second. Now this is not working. I was going to try to show you the Ramah, but it looks like that's not happening. Okay. All right, we'll go back to the sheet then. Okay. Just give me a minute. Sorry. Okay. All right, so going back to the Ramah, if you take a look at the Ramah in source number 5, so the Ramah writes that the way that we set up the way that we're supposed to set up the Seder plate is v'yisader hakara lefanav be'inyan she'eno tzarich lavor ala mitzvah. So the Ramah says that the way that we're supposed to set up the Seder plate is in a way that we're not supposed to pass over the mitzvah, right? Meaning all the mitzvahs that we're doing the night of the Seder, we want the Seder plate, so to speak, to be in order. Dehainu, hakarpas yehe lemala min hakol. The karpas should be the first thing that you come to. So towards the bottom, I wish I could show it to you. I wish I could show you a picture. But basically, at the bottom of the Seder plate, closest to where you are, closest to where you're sitting. Imagine the Seder plate's in front of you. So towards the bottom of the Seder plate, closest to you have the karpas. Veachometz samuch lo yoser min hamatzah. And then you have the salt water or the vinegar right next to the karpas, closer to you than the matzah. Then you have the matzah behind it, the matzos min ha-maror v'ha-charoses, and then a little bit beyond the matzos, you have the maror and the charoses. V'hemi yosek krovim elav min ha-basar v'ha-beitza, and the basar and the beitza, which we don't eat, but it's really just there for symbolic reasons. So that's all the way towards the rear, so to speak, of the kara. So that's how the Rama sets up his kara. Again, closest to you is the karpas and the salt water, and then you have the three matzos. And then the maror and the charoses a little bit beyond them, and then the zroah and the beitza. And again, the lamdus behind the Ramah is she'ein lo tzarich lavor ala mitzvah. You don't want to set up the Seder plate in a way where you're going to be passing over mitzvos. You want all the mitzvos to be in order. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the opinion of the Arizal, and I believe that picture you can see. It's on the dock. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that our minhag is a little bit different. Ufar minhag etzleinu l'sader ala kara zroah miyamin l'mala ubeitza kenegda mismo. He says our minhag is that we put the zroah and the beitza, and that also, right? That's the same as the Rama, that the zroah and the beitza are towards the top of the kara, furthest away from you. But then he writes v'hamaror be'emtza namuch mehem. The maror then is a little bit lower in the middle. Ulamata be'kara charoses miyamin, be'karpas namuch me'at b'smol, and then you have the charoses to the right and the karpas to the left, and then. So that's interesting. He calls what we call the Chazeres, he calls the Maror She'al Korech. So it seems to be that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, at least in the opinion of the Arizal, this is the opinion of the Arizal as he continues. So this is the opinion of the Arizal that the Chazeres, which is the Maror that you place on the Korech, so that is. That's at the bottom. So you see, it almost looks like the way it's described is two segels, right? The segel, the nekuda, in Ivrit, in Lashon HaKodesh. So you have two segels, one on top of the other. The Beitza Zroah and the Maror is one, and then the Karpas Charoses and Chazeres is the other. You'll notice he does not have the matzos on his Seder plate, but this is the opinion of the Arizal. Now it's interesting. I did a little research last year, and you'll find that there are, I don't know the exact number, maybe something like 30 or 40 different variations of minhagim when it comes to the Seder plate, and it's almost every chassidus has its own little variation. Most of the chassidus, of the chassidim base themselves off the Ariza, but there are different variations and where they place the matzah and things like that, because the matzah is not on this, but the different variations, interesting to look into, and you can check it out on your own time. But the obvious kasha is, which is the kasha on the Arizal, that the Ramah seems to make a lot of sense. Right? We have a principle of ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos, that a person is not supposed to pass over mitzvos, no pun intended. That was for Wenger. But here, literally, according to the Arizal, you're passing over the mitzvos, because the first thing you have is the chazeres. The chazeres is the maror that you put on the korech. That's not first. And then you have the charoses and the karpas. So the karpas maybe is next, but the charoses, you don't get to until maror, and then comes maror. So the whole thing seems to be very out of whack and not in order. So that's the kasha. How do we deal with this idea of ein mavirin ala mitzvos when it comes to the Arizal Seder plate? So if you look at source number 7, the Chalk Yaakov, which is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, asks this question, and he quotes the following answer. He quotes the Maharil. The order of the Ramah is actually brought from the Maharil. The Ramah is the one that brings the order of the Halacha, but it really comes from the Maharil, who was one of the Maharil was one of the main Ashkenazi Rishonim, one of the main sources of Ashkenazi Minhagim. So the Chok Yaakov writes that Uba Emes b'maharil lo matzasi kein, charoses ubasar ubeitza lo huskar klum. He says, if you look in the Maharil doesn't actually talk about charoses, basar, and beitza, those three. Okay, why? Kevan de'in mevarchin aleihem. Because there's no bracha on those mitzvos. Basar and beitza, we don't even eat at the Seder, so there's certainly no bracha on them. And even charoses, which we do eat, kind of, maybe we dip the maror into and then shake it off, or whatever the case is, that's for a different shear, the nature of charoses at the Seder, but we don't make a bracha on that either. So therefore, it seems that according to the Maharil, there's no violation of ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos when you pass over the charoses, because the charoses is not really, it's not really such a chash of a mitzvah. You don't even make a bracha on it. And he writes, and what about the maror? Va'afilu ha-maror lo huskar klal b'maharil l'rachei kol akariv. The maror is not mentioned at all in the Maharil, whether that should be, you know, close or far. Afal gav shemavarchin aleha v'tzivanu, even though we do make a bracha of v'tzivanu on the Maharil, the efshar the kevan she'en ochaviv al adam ve'en lo din kedima bebracha lachein lo hikpir. So he suggests that maybe the reason why the Maharil is not so careful about the placement of the of these things, or doesn't really mention, I should say, the placement of these items, is because, number one, the Charos says there's no bracha. It's not really a mitzvah. You know, you dip the maror into it, but it's not really an independent mitzvah. There's no bracha on it. And when it comes to maror, so the maror, number one, is eino chaviv. It's not chaviv to a person because we don't like eating maror, okay? And also, ein lo din kedima bibracha. Right? When it comes to chavivus, so there's, when it comes to chavivus, something that's chaviv, so we have a din kedima, right? We have different halachos of what brachos come first. We don't have that when it comes to maror because it's not chaviv. So therefore, if you look back at the Arizal's Seder plate, according to the Chok Yaakov, there's no real issue here of a mavir ala mitzvos because the chazeres is really maror, so there's no problem being mavir on the chazeres because that's, again, it's not chaviv. There's no din kedima, so we're not worried about ein ma'avirin. The next is charoses. Charoses we don't have to worry about either because there's no real mitzvah. As he says, we don't even make a bracha on it. Karpas is the next mitzvah. And then maror comes pretty much after that. So according to the Chok Yaakov, there's no real problem here. Okay. Turning to the next page, there's another answer that I saw suggested. This was suggested by Rav Daniel Kleinman. You may not recognize his name, but he wrote the set of Sfarim called Kovetz Halachos, which bring the Piskei Halacha of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita. So the set is a wonderful set, extensive footnotes, excellent set, and good resource for Halacha and Halachic research. So he brings the following answer. He says that if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, we find another expression of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos, and that's when it comes to Tfilin and Talis. If you look at source number 8, V'hamanichin kisa Tfilin v'hatalis l'soch kisachas. He says, if people keep their talis and tefillin together in one pouch, they should make sure not to put the talis on the bottom and the tefillin on top. Again, we're assuming that you're coming into the bag from the top, not the way our bags are, where you're coming from the side. But if you're coming into the bag from the top, imagine like those Israeli tefillin holders, where you have one pair of tefillin, you know, one set of tefillin on top of the other. So that's the idea, and you're coming in from the top. So don't put the tefillin on top of the talis. Why? Kadesh shelo yifga b'hem tchila v'yitzarech la'anicham kodem ha'talis kadesh shelo yavor ala mitzvah. Because in the morning when you open up your bag and you stick your hand in, the first thing you're going to hit is the tefillin. If the first thing you're going to hit is the tefillin, you got to put that on first because ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. We know that we don't put on the tefillin first, we put on the talis first. Why? Because malin b'kodesh ve'in moridin. The tefillin has more kedusha. So we put the talis on followed by the tefillin. But in order to avoid the problem of ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos, he says you can't put the tefillin right on top of the talis. Now the Mishnah Berurah in source number 9 points out v'kol ze davka im rotza lahaniach ata tefillin. He says that's assuming that you want to put on the tefillin right now. But if you don't want to put on your tefillin right now, let's say you want to put on your talis and you want to sit and learn for an hour before davening. You want to put on your talis, you know, tefillin, your stomach's bothering you, whatever it is, you don't want to put on your tefillin yet, right? So then he says, Lo shayach baze ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos, says the Mishnah Berurah, is only when I have two mitzvos in front of me right now. I want to do both of them. So now the question is, I can't pass over one in order to do the other. But if I don't want to do two mitzvos right now, I only want to do one mitzvah. So if I only want to do one mitzvah, there's no ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. Right? I can go right for the talus, and even if I pass over the tefillin, it's okay. That's not in my vinyan mitzvahs, because now it's not tefillin time. Now it's only talus time. So suggests Rav Daniel Kleinman that maybe that's why the Arizal said there's no problem of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos when it comes to his Seder plate. Why? Because everything on the Seder plate is its own mitzvah. So when it's time now to do Karpas, there's no Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos because I'm passing over the Chazeres, because now it's not Chazeres time. Now it's Karpas time. When it's time to do Charos, and when it's time to do Charos or Maror, I'm not passing over the Charoses, or whatever the case is, or, you know, whatever the arrangement is, because everything is its own mitzvah, everything has its own time. So therefore, since it's not the appropriate time for this mitzvah, so there's no problem of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. That's the suggestion of Rav Daniel Kleinman, which I thought was a nice suggestion. So we have two answers, answer of the Chok Yaakov and answer of Rav Daniel Kleinman. I want to suggest another answer, which is based on the following idea. And I think there's several manifestations of this idea when it comes to these the halachos of the Kara. Question number one, is when is the Kara brought to the table? Now, normally we have the Kara set up on the table from before the Seder. But is that a chiyuv? Do you have to have it from before the Seder? Can you bring it at, you know, later on? So it's interesting. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, right, one of the original Lubavitcher Rebbe's, so source number 10, he writes, V'nogu l'havi kol dvarim elu lifnei bala bayis, miyad achar kiddush, kodem achilas hayirakos. He says that you don't bring it before kiddush. Right? You bring it after kiddush. You say kiddush, and then after you make kiddush, then you bring the kara with everything on it to the table right after kiddush. Now, the Prima Gadim disagrees. If you look at source number 11, the Prima Gadim writes, Anu no agin lahavi akara, v'chol mashet tzarich, kodem kiddush. Our minig is to bring the kara with everything that you need before kiddush. So we have a machlokas achron between the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who says you bring the kara after kiddush, and the Prima Gadim, who says you bring the kara before kiddush. So what's the machlokas? What's the root of the dispute? So if you take a look at the Rambam in source number 12 in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, so the Rambam writes that that there's a mitzvah to bring these things to the table. Sidur asiyas mitzvos elu b'leil chamisha asar kachu. This is the order of events, the order of the mitzvos on the night of the 15th, the night of the Seder. B'tchila mozgin kos l'chol echad. First, you pour a cup of wine, you make bar priyag gaf, and you make kiddush, make a shech yonu when you drink. That's number one. And then, mevi'in shulchan aruch ve'alav maror ve'yerek acher u'matzav charoses. And it's clear, he says, then you bring a fully set table. And again, in the times of the Rambam, it's possible that they were still using the small tables, not in the times of the Rashbam, we saw, but the Rambam lives earlier. So you bring the table with the maror, yerek, acher, matzos, and the matzah and the charoses. So that's all brought. It's clear in the Rambam you bring it after kiddush. Ubizman azem mevi'in al shulchan shnei minei basar echad zecher lepesach ve'echad zecher lechagiga. Right, and then you also bring the upon the table you bring also the two types of basar. You know the meat. He has shnei minei basar. We have basar and beitza. But it's the same idea, Zecher LePesach and Zecher LeChagiga. The Rambam in the next halacha, which is not next halacha, but the next source, number 13, he writes, Acharoses mitzvah midivrei sofrim, Zecher Letit shehayu ovdin bo b'mitzrayim. He writes that there is a mitzvah midirabanan to bring Acharoses also. Umevi'in osa ala shulchan b'leilei ha-Pesach. And you have to bring it onto the table on the night of Pesach. Now, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that if you look at the language of the Rambam, he says the mitzvah is to bring it upon the shulchan, both in Perek Ches and in Perek Zayin. That's the mitzvah, mevi'in al hashulchan. Right? That's what he says about the shnei b'nei basar. That's what he says about the charoses, mevi'in al hashulchan. But it's also clear that the Rambam only brings these things to the table only after kiddush. Now, why is that? So Rav Soloveitchik explained as follows. Rav Soloveitchik explained that according to the Rambam, bringing these items to the table is a kiyum in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. In order to do Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's not enough just to tell the story. It's not enough just to, tell Avadim Vayinu L'Farah B'Mitzrayim, Vayotzi'einu, etc. That's not enough. We have to relive it. How do we relive the story? With the props, with these symbols, with these rituals. All of these symbolic foods, these are part of us reliving the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. when we bring them to the table, that's a kiyum in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So according to the Rambam, if bringing these things to the table is a kiyum in the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, when does the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim start? The Rambam says, of course, after Kiddush. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't start before Kiddush. Kiddush is its own mitzvah. Now after Kiddush, I have the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so now I bring these things to the table. So I wanted to suggest the following. Then maybe we can suggest that the machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Prima Gadim as to whether you bring the Kara before Kiddush or after Kiddush, not exactly like the Rav is explaining in the Rambam, but maybe the machlokes is, how do we view the role of the Kara at the Seder? Is the role of the Kara at the Seder just utilitarian? It has a purpose. The purpose of the Kara is to provide the foods that are necessary for the Seder. So the karpas and the salt water and the matzah and the maror and the charoses, etc. That's the point of the kara. Or is the point of the kara really symbolic? Not necessarily like the Rav was saying in the Rambam that it's a kiyum of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's more symbolic. It's to show the ideas of all that these foods represent. So is it utilitarian or is it really symbolic? Maybe this is the machlokas, because if it's utilitarian, if the whole point of the kara is just to provide you with the foods that are necessary, so that you bring it after Kiddush. That's like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. You can bring it after Kiddush, because before Kiddush you don't need these items. You only need them after Kiddush. But if you say that the point of the kara is not just to provide the foods, but it's to provide a symbolism, the ideas behind all of these ritual foods, all of these symbolic foods, so then that maybe has to be on the table before Kiddush. Before we begin the Suda, before we begin the Seder, we need to have these things on the table to symbolize the ideas that we're representing. That's possible. So I think that this Chakira can play out in the following two other places, and then we'll kind of wrap things up. So there's another interesting question. What happens if you have multiple people at your Seder, multiple families, which unfortunately this year doesn't look like it's going to be, in most people's Sedarim. But usually we have multiple families. You might have different generations. You might have, you know, family friends that are eating together. Does each person, each the head of the household, so to speak, need their own kara? Or would you say that no, you just have one kara for the head of the household, for the balabayas? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Mevin lifnei balabayas. And the Bir Agra in source number 14 writes that it's based on the Gemara which said, Hilchos HaKirav Huna. We had that Gemara earlier. I believe it was source number 2. We had the Gemara where the Gemara says, that the kara or the items, the Gemara didn't have a kara, but the items are all brought before the balabayas. So that's Rav Huna's opinion, and we paskin like Rav Huna, and therefore you bring the seder plate halacha lemaisa according to the Shulchan Aruch, you bring it lifnei balabayas. The piskei tshuvos, you know, the great sefer piskei tshuvos, a lot of a collection of very gishmak tshuvos. So the piskei tshuvos brings an alternate minhag in source number 15, the yesh noagin. Shekol beis av hamachalik matzah leishto v'uli yiladav meniach kara v'gimel matzos lefanav. Every father, every head of household who's distributing the matzah and the other mitzvos of the night to his wife and children should have his own kara with three matzos and with all the foods that he needs. Av sheyoshev b'shulchan echad im balabayis hayoshev b'rosh hashulchan. Even though he's sitting at the same table, the balabais is sitting at the head, and he's got his kara, this beis av, right, this person should get his own kara. What's this machlokes, if only the balabais has a kara, or if everyone sitting at the table has a kara? So maybe we can explain, it's the same machlokes. Because if the purpose is just symbolic, it's to have these foods on the table, the foods that symbolize these ideas, so then only the balabais needs it. As long as he's running the seder, as long as he has a kara in front of him, with the food that symbolize all these amazing ideas. So that's the symbolism that you have at the Seder. That's all you need. But if you hold that no, it's utilitarian. The point of the Kara is really just to provide the foods for the people, right? So then maybe every Beis Av should have one. Every father should have, because he's the one who's providing the mitzvos and the foods to his wife and children. Perhaps you can suggest that that's the root of the dispute. One more application and then we'll wrap up. Another application, which is interesting, is let's say you're done. You know, you did karpas. So I'm done with karpas. I'm not gonna do karpas again throughout the rest of the Seder. Can I remove the karpas and the salt water from the kara? Do I have to leave it on? So if you look at source number 16, the Magen Avraham writes, "V'nir li, t'la'achar she'ochal hayerek, Mutar l'salek hayerek u'mei hamelach mehakara. Says the Magen Avraham that once you eat karpas, you're allowed to remove the karpas, excuse me, and the salt water from the kara. One could argue, right? I didn't find any sources explicit about this. But one could make the argument that maybe you shouldn't. What could be this machlokas, if there is such a machlokas? You might argue it's the same root of dispute. If you say that these ideas are symbolic, that's the point here, so then you shouldn't take it off, because throughout the entire Seder, throughout the entire evening, we want these symbolic foods on the table. But if you say it's utilitarian, the point is to provide us with the foods that we need, so once karpas is done, meimelach is done, what do I need it for? I can remove it from the table. That's the opinion of the Magen Avraham. Okay, so this might be the root of the dispute in these three cases. What I wanted to explain, going back to our original machlokas between the Ramah and the Arizal, is that maybe this is also the root of the dispute between the Ramah and the Arizal. The Ramah feels that the point of the Kara is utilitarian. The point of the Kara is to provide the symbolic foods, to provide the mitzvos for the people at the Seder that night. That's the point of this mitzvah. That's the point of the Kara. So if that's the point of the Kara, and these are all mitzvos, so then we have the rules of Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvos. Just like I'm not allowed to pass over the tefillin in order to get to the talis, like we discussed, you also can't pass over the maror or pass over the charoses in order to get to the karpas. You can't do that. Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvos. That's if you hold the seder plate, that the kara is utilitarian in nature. The point is to provide us with the foods that we need. But says the Arizal, no, that's part of it, of course, is to provide you with the foods. But part of the kara also is just symbolic. It's to symbolize all the ideas. Perhaps one can say that in the Arizal, if the point of the kara is symbolic to symbolize all the ideas of these ritual foods, the ideas of the Seder, so then it really all blends into one. It's one kara with all these ideas included in it. If that's the case, there's no Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos, because it's one unified symbol, the kara. It's a Seder plate. It's one unified symbol that includes within it all of these other, and all of these foods, all of these symbols, all these ideas. But it's not separate mitzvos, each one where you can talk about Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. It's one unified mitzvah, it's one unified symbol of bringing the kara to the table to express the ideas of that these foods represent. That's perhaps the machlokas between that I want to suggest between the Ramah and the Arizal in how they formulate the positioning on the Seder plate. Now, just in the last couple of minutes, just to wrap up, I think there's a beautiful idea that you see here in the nature of the kara. The Ber Heitev, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch in source number 17, brings the order of the Arizal, and he says that the Arizal believed that all of these items on the kara really represent different attributes, different midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I'm not a mekubal, and I can't begin to explain to you what all these things mean, but if you just take a look at it quickly, we're not going to read the whole thing inside, but the Ber Heitev says that the three matzos represent Chachma, Bina, and Das, Zro represents Chesed, Beitza represents Gvura, Maru represents Tiferes, Charoses represents Netzach, the Karpas represents Hod, and the Chazeres represents Yesod. Okay? So those are nine midos, nine attributes, the three matzos, and these other six items. And then writes the Arizal, the Akara be'atzma shekoleles kulam hi hamalchus. The Kara itself, which includes all of these items, which by the way alludes, I think, to that, to the lumdus we wanted to suggest in the Arizal. But the Kara itself, which includes shekoleles kulam, which includes all of these things, the Kara is malchus. And that's why I call this Shir the king of the Seder. Because according to the Arizal, the Kara is the king of the Seder. The Kara is the king of the Seder because the Kara is the symbol that includes all the other symbols. Just like you have a king or a head of state, when he comes to another country, he's representing every individual that's in his country. President of the United States goes to another country on official business, he's representing every individual in his country, every individual in the United States of America. So too the Kara, which includes everything else, represents the Malchus. This is perhaps why the Kara has such a central role in the night of the Seder. Why? Because part of what we're trying to express at the night of the Seder is the concept of Chirus. That's why we lean to show that we're B'nai Chorin. But also the Sefer HaChinuch writes that there's also Malchus involved here as well. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch in number 18, The Sefer Achinuch writes that we have a lo sa'aseh etzem lo sish beruvo. You're not supposed to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. And he says, what's the idea of this mitzvah? Mishar she ha-mitzvah. Lizkor nisei Mitzrayim, to remember the miracles of Mitzrayim, kamo shekasavnu be'acheros, like we wrote in other mitzvos. V'gam ze gizo min ha-shoresh ha-nizgar. And he says this is also the root of this mitzvah, also is related to the following. She'in kovo libnei melochim, when you eat and you break bones, that's like a dog. We are b'nei malachim. We're kings. We're regal. We're royal. We don't eat like that. We eat in a dignified manner. We eat in a dignified manner. He says it's not proper to do that. That's like a poor people that are very hungry. The alkein b'tchilas bo'enu lihios segulas kol ha'amin. Mamleches kohanim v'goy v'yam kadosh. When we become this treasured nation, the point is that we're supposed to express this elevated level that we've reached of this B'nai Malachim. That's a very famous idea of the Sefer HaChinuch, that when we show this, when we act in a regal manner, we act in a royal manner, so that will affect our pnimius, that will affect who we are. And this is really what the Seder is all about, to recognize the malchus of Klal Yisrael, that when we came out of Mitzrayim, it's not just that we were B'nai Choret, but we're B'nai Malachim, we're malchus, we're mamleches kohanim, the goy kadosh. That's what we are. And the Rambam, with this we'll conclude, the Rambam writes in source number 19, that we have a mitzvah to be mechabed the melech, and the Melech has all of these prohibitions. He can't be too much of a Balgaiva, etc., etc. And then, if you look at just the last page here, so the Rambam writes that the whole point of the Melech is to deal with all of the elements, all of the aspects of the nation, and he has to act ba'anava yisera. Ein lanu gadol mi Moshe Rabbeinu. He says the greatest Jew was Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was an of mikol adam. So at the same time, the night of the Seder, when we're acting with Malchus, we're acting in a regal, royal manner, because we are Mamleches Kohanim V'goy Kadosh, we have to recognize that that comes with a humility as well. That comes with a humility that recognizes that any elevated stature that we have comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and with that elevated stature is not just privileges, but it's responsibilities, things that we have to do. I think that's part of, you know, what the Kara is teaching us and what the whole Leil HaSeder is teaching us, this idea of acting as Malachim, B'nai Malachim, Amamleches Kohanim Begoy Kadosh, but also having the Anava to recognize that it's not because we're so special, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is special, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us, and because we follow His Torah, and we follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us, that's why we have this elevated status of B'nai Malachim. Okay. Stop the sharing. See if that works.